is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, October 9th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. It's another Man Down Mashup Wednesday where we combine both shows together and where we interrogate and analyze the news. Today we're talking about good governance, right? The seemingly derogation of designation. How do you pronounce that word?
Dereliction of duty and degradation.
Yeah, that's the word I wanted there. Of it, right? Mm-hmm. We elected our government officials, both the opposition and the government, mm-hmm. to make the government, mm-hmm. right? Both together makes the government, right? To manage our economy, our society, our socialist construct, right? And it seems as if we are not being managed properly. It seems as if the issues that we put forward that they promised to address continuously, the pledges they made for the election, are now being ignored, where the leaders are coming to you and say, did me? I told you I was going to do that? No, some things I'm not even going to address because they were just merely election promises. It was you who decided to believe what I said. And now we have the general election looming again with more promises. Do we believe can take place in the Bahamas when we have politics are seemingly frustrating the system, right? Seemingly looking at us as we are simpletons when we put questions to them, say, didn't you promise this? Isn't this the issues pending? And then they do speeches that confuse us. And you say, man, that isn't what I bargained for. Today, we're going to have a discussion on what is trending inside the news based on that good governance. Are we experiencing good governance at this present time? Should we demand more? Should we stand up and say, no, this ain't it. This ain't it, Mr. Government. This is not what I elected you for. Should I break rank of my political party and say, no, I'm not satisfied. I am not happy with what is happening now. I might be a supporter of the party, but I'm going to speak out. I'm going to challenge you to say, no, you're wrong. You promised me this. These things should be happening. These public utterances your members are making, it's making me angry at my party. Should this be happening? So anyway, we're going to highlight one or two things. We're going to read something that happened to a Bahamian. The Bahamian had his dog in his house safe. Police saying they're doing their duty. They went to the wrong house. They shoot down his dog, bap, bap, bap.
The family members on the scene indicate through the statements they gave to the media that not only was the dog shot, but the dog was shot while the daughter of the owner was inches away from the dog, attempting to grab its collar, right? Because the dog was in its home, not interfering with anybody, when the police breached the residence. So the police shot the dog while the owner's daughter was inches away from the dog. And I'm reiterating
inches.
Statements printed in the Nassau Tribune.
Remember during COVID when they closed the borders and no plane could have come in? And then one lady was able to land their plane in order to bury their dog?
Mm-hmm.
Or attend the funeral of their dog.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if that was her dog and the police shot it. Do you think we would be behind it?
No.
Hell was going to break loose.
Yes.
It's going to be one of them undisclosed settlements that the government tend to have
mm-hmm.
with undisclosed amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you ask how much money it is, it says it's private. It's none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
It's your public funds.
It's your money, but we can't tell you how much we had to pay for this breach.
And they say, tell you, shut up and take it.
Sounds like rape culture to me. Let me read the article. Delavo, no charges to be brought against officer that shot family's dog. This story is in today's Tribune bottom front page. Deputy Commissioner of Police Lamont Delavaux said, quote, no charges will be brought against the officers, close quotes, involved in the tragic shooting of a family's dog 4 months ago. A decision that has left the owner, Sylvan Ferguson, angry. When Tiana Ferguson opened her home door to the police in June, allowing her dog Milo to escape outside, she, and we're going to page four, she was unable to restrain the animal before an officer shot and killed him. A viral video captured the chaotic aftermath, showing officers roughing up her father, Mr. Ferguson, after he became emotional. Mr. Delavaux, who oversees the Complaints and Corruption branch of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, had promised to shed light on the investigation's findings, assuring the public they would be, quote, advised and informed, close quotes, when it concludes. Mr. Delavaux said little about the case yesterday, but confirmed its conclusion. Mr. Ferguson said, quote, it's not fair to know that they came into my house unexpectedly. It wasn't the house they were supposed to come to, and they're not going to be held accountable for it. Quote, to me, it was not fair at all during the investigation. It shows me that the police can do whatever they want. And Ferguson said police officials contacted him a month after the incident, asking if his daughter could identify the shooter. But he had not heard from them before the Tribune's revelation to him yesterday. This is at least the second time that the Tribune has printed that excerpt, that particular part, where the father indicated to the media that at one point the police called him to ask him if the daughter could identify which officer discharged their weapon. And after that call, he heard nothing from them.
See, my concern, Erin, is confidence. The confidence the public is having for our police force and law enforcement, right? They are continually to be bombarded with criticism. Mm-hmm. And these things happen when you do policing. You know, you expect criticism as you try to police the Bahamas. You expect it, right? And some of them warranted, and some of them say, man, it's just flagrant, man. You're just complaining for complaining's sake. Mm-hmm. But a number of these critique the public is issuing out to the police force just needs a timely response. But it doesn't seem as if our leadership in the police force to respond, to say, this is what's happening, this is what we plan to do, this is the recourse.
My concern is that they don't have the capacity to do it, that the system itself is incompetent in that sense. What's even scarier than the idea that they don't want to do it, even though they know they ought to do it, is they don't have the capacity, that they know they ought to do it, they don't know how they're going to do it, and they don't know how to resolve that matter. But this particular issue isn't like one of those. See, we're all focused on the way that the family was handled, right? You've come to the wrong address. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have a warrant to enter that residence, right? The dog was shot. You then rough up and threaten to lock up the owner of the dog. But nobody has spoken substantively to the issue that this officer discharged his weapon with the daughter of the owner of the dog in close proximity to the dog attempting to control it.
You take it from what, recklessness?
No, what I'm saying is that if we had, which I've attempted to bring light to that element of the case, but that is the part that warrants the action. Now, dear animal rights activists, I'm not saying that shooting this dog in this manner doesn't warrant action, but when you respond and say no charges will be brought against officer that shot family's dog, what about charges being brought against an officer that discharged his weapon recklessly, right? In a unit that discharged their duties recklessly, having ended up at the wrong address. Obviously, I'm just waiting to read an official document that I shot the dog because I was in fear. In fact, I think he did say he shot the dog because he's in fear of his life.
That's usual explanation. But see, my concern is,
would he have shot the girl?
Of course he would have. I have no doubt. But see, my point is the findings. Like I said, because the police force is under so much scrutiny, one would have assumed that you come back with a report. We did our investigations. We saw that this happened. We concluded that the officer did this. We have concluded that he was right with point A, B, C. However, he's deficient and point DEF, and we have decided that he's going to go through any kind of formalized training.
Right, as opposed to being demoted or removed from the force.
See, there's no explanation to us because we are not worthy of explanation. And that is my concern. Nobody cares about our emotions, our feelings, our good governance. And I put that to the feet of the Commissioner of Police because he's clearly oblivious to what is happening to the police force.
And let me tell you about the real fears and concerns of people. So I'm obviously a safe driving advocate, and the route I used to take to work would take me up Shirley Street and down Cumberland Street and then on to, you know, in front of the Hilton to go to Nassau Street, right? And often I would have to navigate a myriad of reckless drivers forcing their way into other lanes, no turn signals, right? All of that. I'd have to navigate that to get from Shirley Street or King or Duke Street by Government House down to Nassau Street. And often, people running the red light on the Blue Hill Road side, often there would be officers stationed opposite the Hilton on, is that Navy Line Road? Anyway, that road mm-hmm. right there up in front of the Hilton, there'd be officers right there. Mm-hmm. So one morning, as I came around the curve and I saw the officers there, I said, you know, I'm not going to say anything to the officers. I guess to check my car, right? Mm-hmm. So they said, hey, slow your car down. I did. I put the window down and I said, you know, sir, I just witnessed 5 traffic infractions taking place right around the corner. If you guys actually installed yourself there, you would be able to deter bad driving. You know what the officer said to me?
He said,
Miss, I didn't just see you putting on your seatbelt when you come around the curve.
Oh.
That was his response.
Mm-hmm.
How quickly the young man was prepared to put me in a place, to label me the criminal in his embarrassment
mm-hmm.
by what it is that I said to him, which was, I just witnessed 5 traffic infractions. If y'all stand around the corner, y'all could make some money. He was ready to label me a criminal to shut me up. Miss, you... And I looked at him and I said, sir, my name is Aaron Green. You go back to whatever station you come from and you ask those officers if you witnessed me putting on my seatbelt when I came around this curb. But the fear that in a moment of embarrassment or incompetence, an officer will forget everything that he's supposed to do, right? It's scary.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
This is why I don't say anything to the police. But one of the things I think you're missing with the situation with Doe is that they ask the father if the daughter can identify the officer.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Think about what's been going on with the police recently. And consider why would they want to know if she can identify this person.
I just didn't want to say it out loud. I was hoping that my implication would be sufficient to encourage or evoke further thought in the listening audience.
You understand? Because think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What are their plans? What is it that's going to happen moving forward with that family or with some one or two members of that family if they know? And ma'am, if you can identify the officer, tell them no. Because that would be the only way to keep you from being like Aaron and Austin and sitting in the, caller, in the wrong car.
Caller, is my responsibility at this point to say to you, right, that we cannot encourage, not participate honestly in police investigations, right? You know what I'm saying?
That I quite understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm now feeling a bit afraid for myself because if they break into or by accident come into my home and nothing's going to be done, I mean, that there alone is a violation.
Yep.
That alone is a violation. So that's wrong. You know, they should not just say, oh, he's not going to be charged. No, do something about it. Do something about it. You know, we already have a bad taste in our mouths for the red, white, and blue.
The unit...
And that's my concern, caller. I don't believe the Commissioner of Police is appreciating that concern.
And the erosion of trust that can take place when circumstances like this are not resolved appropriately.
But Aaron, you're saying can take place. Has already taken place. It has already taken place where we already have a bad taste in our mouth because we just recently heard that the good garden leave officer is back at work in a different capacity.
No, we don't know if he's back at work yet. What we can surmise from the documentation that we saw is that he has been transferred and perhaps his pay may have changed, scale of that new office. But we cannot say with certainty that he has been brought back to work. And this is important so that we don't pervert the course of justice.
Exactly. We understand that.
Yes, ma'am.
We understand. So let us know. Let us know. Do something, even if you verbally discipline the officer. But don't just say nothing's going to be done. Come on, man. Y'all really don't get like this. You say y'all don't understand what we're feeling for y'all. Right now, y'all and the PLP sitting in the same boat. Come on.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, caller. And I hope they could ride the wave.
Aaron, we have two missing people. I mean, you have a lot of missing people, but two high-profile missing people right now.
Taylor Casey.
Taylor Casey, which the police said that they'll come back soon, whenever that date is. And the 17-year-old boy.
Devin Isaacs.
Boy, who's been missing almost a year now, right? And when you ask, but they say, oh, he went willingly into a car. The child, the minor, went. That's the explanation.
Right. And so the importance, I see we got to call it there, the importance of understanding the rationale, right? Because when you change the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse, you're suggesting that these people are willing participants. And what is implied is that then they get choices that they make. Mm-hmm. But he was a minor when he disappeared.
Still a minor.
And it doesn't matter whether he becomes an adult, whether he gains the age of maturity. The investigation should still be treated like the kidnapping or the abduction of a minor boy child.
And there's no update about a child, a juvenile. What do you call little darlings?
Yeah.
How can a little darling go missing and there's not a national outcry, a national search? The prime minister needs to be on the streets going door to door because there's a child missing.
Yes.
But let's go to the caller right now. Producer Patrick, call it through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Newey.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
The situation with the dog, right? You know, I love dogs. I grew up with dogs all my life. My father had police dogs. They trained inside the house, et cetera, so it made me feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But you can imagine, I'm not going to worry about whose back. They almost broke my back. So what I'm saying is a situation that happened. I wouldn't say how long ago, but, you know, in my encounters, let's say historically, there was an incident in which they came to the residence where I have an office and my nephew was exhibiting some problems. They came, they got a search warrant. And so my situation is this. The situation shows you the need for cams. And so they asked the lady if she had, she could have found out the officer that shot the dog. But what I'm saying is the onus was sent to the witness. The onus shouldn't be on them to do that. If the cams were there, then it would be self-documented. It wouldn't be no need for her. But they have to have something in the county, even if she says it's him. So the fact that there's no body cams is a cause for an alarm. And then a situation, a scenario, whatever, hypothesis. You went home by yourself, and they come there with a warrant, and there's only you went home. How could you feel safe without the camera? You understand what I'm saying? But the situation, I mean, this is a very human story. So the dogs were in the backyard. They asked if they, I said, firstly, let me secure the dogs. So they didn't even answer me. But I was in my room by myself. And so what happens is I already handcuffed somebody with submissive. So one of the officers proceeded to open the room door to the dogs outside. Now, the dogs can't open it. The dogs are outside, and they're safe, and we are safe. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to open the door. He had his gun drawn, and he opened the door with his gun pointing outside. So I stepped in the way. Because I say, no, you ain't shoot my dogs. And so what happens is, they threw me to the ground, choke me to death, tell me there's the boss, and they threaten, say, I could kill you, I could kill you. And, I have a handcuff. Why should you have your gun out there? I'm in the room by myself. But you send the person out of the room so I could be by myself. Now, there was a female officer who was there. She's seeing this. And so she's the bearer of life. But she doesn't think that I'm somebody's child, right? But what I'm saying is, treat them. They treat them on me. One got me by the throat. I couldn't even breathe. And then one or two of them on my back. Each one of them being more on me. And he telling me he could bench press me, so my weight. But I'm saying is that's dead. That's dead weight. But what, you know, these are the type of attitudes. But what I'm saying is, I was brutalized because I stepped in the way. I didn't want him to shoot a dumb dog.
Mm-hmm.
He has your dog's license. I said no, sir. I said I was just going to do. No, I can shoot him. I can shoot him. He's saying he have a license to shoot my dog in my yard, corralling my fence. I say all these poor kids running around the ghetto. You ain't shoot them. You don't come and shoot my dog. See what I'm saying is, This is sickening. So
he said he had a license to shoot your dog.
Fear stops progress. You mean people in fear, and we will not proceed. This will just be, this will go on and on and on, and that's it. Nothing will happen because we are weak and we are too fearful. We want to uprise with George Floyd, but over here, we are submissive and passive, and we're taking everything they say as gospel and speaking out, it becomes a problem. So how can we solve this problem if we don't acknowledge the problem? They don't acknowledge the problem, so how can we solve this problem? You understand? I'm showing you a real human story. So why you want to shoot a dumb dog? I had to step in the way. What you, the dog can't open the door. Why you opening the door and pointing the gun outside? I mean, you won't open the door to say the dog bites you, and then you shoot him just to make your job exciting. That's how pathetic some of them are. Bless them.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, the danger that the police force and the governing administration must acknowledge is the erosion of trust in government systems. That is the danger. And this emerging narrative that somehow citizens are a barrier to good governance that must be curtailed and restricted and limited is problematic on all levels, right? You restrict and limit our access to the economy to maintain your narrative. You restrict and limit our access to information to maintain your narrative. You restrict, you've come up with this new concept that cases that result in settlements or financial penalties being attached, that those amounts, those sums can be confidential. You're telling us that parts of rulings from court cases can be confidential, and that payouts for government breaches of rights can be confidential, and we the people don't have a right to know how much of our money is being spent for breaches committed by state actors? These things are very problematic.
I see we have another call, a telephone call there, producer. Can you patch that through? And my question is good governance. Good governance. Should we demand more? Should we be shamed if when we ask for more, say, no, government, this is not right? And we seem as if there is a narrative, a parallel narrative of what we think should be happening, that there are members of parliament now perpetrating onto us to say, no, 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 you are confused. This is the new narrative. You either accept this or you can be kicked aside. And I am concerned about that. That they're shutting us down. Every time we have a concern, they shut us down in midst of the conversation, right? It reminds me of what that novel is, 1984. You read that book, the novel? The movie, 1984. George Orwell.
Yeah, isn't it Fahrenheit 400 something?
No,
1984. Yeah.
No, with Big Brother.
Yeah.
That you can't do. Anyway, let's go to
You know why I didn't read it? I know a lot of students were required to read it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad at this point, I can read it at some point, but I'm glad I didn't read it as a young person because I realized that a lot of people read it and they don't realize that it's a critique of the system.
Yeah.
And people read it as if this is a explainer. Like, this is how the system works.
Yeah.
It's just what it is, as opposed to understanding the book as a critique of the prevailing system.
And I see the Bahamas. And it, for me, I just have a dystopian attitude. But I see the Bahamas moving toward this dystopia type concept.
Yeah.
But let's go to the caller right now. Let's go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Nguyen. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, sir.
Some books and stuff, like when you read some of those stuff in the past, as if they were predicting the future, or more or less that our society was based on those books. You know what I mean? Like those books inspired what we live in today. But it was unfortunate to hear the story of 52 in our society, of all kind of stories like that that people could tell. You know, all kind of experiences with law enforcement. That is unfortunate. And I feel as if, like, you know, we shouldn't have that type of relationship coming from law enforcement. But the thing about it, Ms. Green, is you repeated something that I think that a lot of people may not really understand how important your statement is, and that is the erosion of trust in the institutions that are responsible for governing us and keeping peace, et cetera. That is very important. And it shows that the people in leadership, they don't understand or don't care about that, because there would always be this need by the leaders to have that trust in place. And this whole situation with the police force and the particular individual who's involved in the high-profile case is something that could be like the straw. No, I don't even call it a straw, because that's not a straw that's going to break a camel's back. But it could be that one thing that could really take that trust or that lack of trust to a point of no return, you know? And the thing about it is that, we really need to see if we could, as a public,
okay,
get the public more involved in.
I agree with you.
I agree with you.
We definitely yeah, gonna lobby
get
for that.
Get the public more involved in trying to bring about some type of solutions, man. Because I mean, the institutions like the church, I mean, you know what I mean. The Bar Council, like no one in our society seems to have that desire to want to preserve that trust that Ms. Green keeps talking about, that is eroding, because once that is gone, society is finished. You know?
Okay. Like, so this in general, but we have one more caller here, and I see one or two things I want you to read, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Cody. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, CA. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
You know, CA and Aaron, if this government was concerned about good governance, the very first thing they would have done was complete the Freedom of Information Bill, Act, or whatever, to make sure that it's functioning properly. If this government was concerned about good governance, it would have started to have campaign finance reform initiated. If this government was concerned about good governance, then the Procurement Act would have been more transparent. You can't be concerned about good governance when you tell your attorney general to tell the people in these various ministry who the PAC requested to come before, they should not go. What are you hiding? Why don't you want these people to be scrutinized? The Prime Minister's response is that these things are not priorities for him. His priority is when these couple of people come around by him saying they can't pay their light bill and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
You should be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. You should be concerned about good. Your job as a member of parliament, the Constitution says that your job is primarily to pass laws for the good governance of this country. That is what you were sent there for, so that we could have good, decent people are not afraid and fear of their life. All of these guns on the street, you ain't doing nothing. You ain't saying nothing. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't passing no laws. All you're doing is just sitting down there waiting for this lull, waiting for this ebb and flow, according to this minister. Oh, Lord, Aaron and Steve, we in trouble, boy. We in trouble.
Pray for us.
But you know, they coming back, you know. They come back, they can soon be run again in another couple of months.
In a year or two, they'll be right to your door, and then we have to make a decision.
With the same old cry and the same old.
And they'll promise campaign.
And they'll promise you, you know, they long on promise, but they short on delivery.
Don't worry, sir. I'm going to do a red shirt episode soon where the Bahamian public could tell the Bahamian public, if I don't, you know who it is, if I don't ever, ever see your face no more, it'll be too soon. Anyway, I think we're going to have that, the need for that show coming up shortly. I heard Mr. Newry say something earlier that suggested we're going to have an early election.
Yeah, we can have an early election.
Here's a text. Was 52 saying this incident happened recently or years ago? Not that it diminishes the police violence in any way. Just trying to determine if the commissioner has given any indication to his officers to stop abuse of the public, including abuse of criminals. That's a caller on the line, Mr. Newry.
No, let's go read the article first, and we go to caller next.
Okay, so counseling ordered for man who assaulted his kids?
Yeah.
A 51-year-old man was ordered to attend counseling after admitting to assaulting his adult children at their home last month. Senior Magistrate Cara Turnquest DeVoe arraigned Presson Patti on charges of assault with a dangerous instrument and causing harm. According to the prosecution, Patti's daughter began recording him on her phone when he exhibited erratic behavior at their home on September 29th. Patti reportedly attempted to grab the phone and then pushed his daughter against the wall. He also allegedly held a cutlass to his son's throat. Patti pleaded guilty to the charges and informed the court that he had recently been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and was on medication. He was granted a conditional discharge requiring him to attend counseling. He faces a 6-month prison sentence if he fails to meet this condition. The magistrate also encouraged Patti to continue taking his medication as prescribed. Patti is scheduled to return to court on December 5th for a progress update on his counseling. In the midst of October Older Persons Month, it's also, I think, important to note that there may be, I would request further medical investigation, because we see more and more sort of anecdotal documentation of a type of Alzheimer's that they call aggressive Alzheimer's, right? Mm-hmm. And so this sort of erratic change in behavior, he's been diagnosed with BPD and on medication. This erratic change of behavior could also be a result of early onset aggressive Alzheimer's.
And mental illness is real in the Bahamas. I wish Mr. Patti good luck and his family, because dealing with a family member who has mental issues, it can be overwhelming. Right?
And in light of Older Persons Month, you know, there's so many conversations we have to have about transitioning, older parents transitioning, right, to a place of dependence. And this the norms around authority, right? And so when children are stepping in to do what they're obligated to do, which is to care for you and to protect you from yourself, some parents cannot reconcile with the shifting of authority, right?
Is there any support group for children dealing with parents, legal guardians, with mental
issues? Yeah, I think so. In fact, you reach out to the Bahamas mental Alzheimer's illness. Association. You can find them on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next caller there and get ready for the read the next article again. Yeah. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Caller once, go ahead. Go ahead, next caller. I can hear you. No? I can hang that line up too there. And call us, call back. We are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. And, of course, you're calling from the family island. Is there any breeze in? Well, you call at 242-357-20. I guess tomorrow. We working tomorrow with all the breeze?
Yeah, they only say schools close. And not all schools are closed.
Am I an essential worker yet?
I mean,
I know, like, during COVID,
you're essential to my morning.
They get badges and things to be on the road. I want to know if I coming through that water, I can come to work.
You have a truck?
No.
Don't risk it.
Stay home?
Yeah.
We could look like we just zoom in. But I know I ain't have no electricity.
You see what I'm saying?
See?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people thought the hurricane was here yesterday because power went off.
Yes.
Two strike light. In fact, lightning struck over my house about 3 or 4 times. It's a sign to go plug everything in.
We barely had rain in Fox Hill and they turned off the light, man.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
My backyard flooded.
No.
I mean, we had tremendous. In fact, I have the way the house is designed, there are vents for wind, heavy wind moving through the ceiling, right? So it's to protect the roof. And the wind and rain was so heavy that it pushed water in through those vents. And I experienced a bit of leaking.
My doorbell alarm going off like crazy. That's getting off. Every minute I get a ping.
The wind, hey.
The wind.
Yeah.
Get ready to read the next article. This text says, Aaron, considering we are talking about disorders, do you know pedophilia is classified? Didn't this gentleman text you before? Pedophilia is classified as a paraphilic disorder in some diagnostic manuals, such as a DSM-5 Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorder, 5th edition. This person texted you before this. Like every so often they text you the same
text. It's almost going to prompt me to do a show on pedophilia to satisfy their desire to interrogate it. I don't know.
But he wants you to be more understanding for pedophiles. Yeah? Why aren't we more understanding to these individuals? So,
Texter, I often talk about mental illness and unprocessed trauma and
Aaron,
how it leads to deviant sexual behavior.
I'm scanning the text now.
Yeah.
From past texts, he has about 15 texts for saying, talking about his power. Can you imagine texting the news, the radio, about five different times about pedophiles and why they need to be defended. That's not healthy, man.
Boy, text, I really hope that we are sorely misinterpreting this particular text
times.
And the pattern of text. I'm just saying.
Look how many times, my Aaron. Look at pedophile. Anyway, let's go to the next. Let's go to the next follow. Go ahead. Go ahead, Coley. Can you hear me? Look at this. How many times, Aaron?
We missed that caller. All right, so here is another headline. Oh, another caller come back in. Let's go straight to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, Nuri.
Morning.
Yeah, I want to follow up on a story like what 52 spoke about with the police and interrogating people. Well, my personal experience happened over 30 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And also to the person then that lost their dog. I would like for that family to know that they can take on an action against the officers, the commissioner of police, and the attorney general to recover their loss. But the issue with them coming and harassing you and the police harassing you, I had an experience years ago where I had to take the police for the policeman them to court and won $15,000 against them for locking me up and charging me without having any just cause. You see, I just want to share that with the public that you don't have to sit around and let them harass you, because an officer that I went to high school with anymore, he and another officer pursued my car with an individual who had stolen.
You going? Okay.
It appears we lost you. I'm so sorry, caller.
Get ready to read that, Aaron. This text says, if there's no heavy rain this afternoon, Dwight is buying everyone tropical gyros. I didn't know.
Dwight who? We need a last name. Dwight who?
I think strong.
Send me a last name, texter.
But I mean, I want my tropical gyro if it is, that's what he said. Did he say that?
It don't matter who the Dwight is, just give us a last name so I know who to go to for my tropical gyro.
I mean, if he promises that.
If it doesn't rain for the rest of the day.
No, he said this afternoon.
This afternoon. Yeah,
the afternoon starts from 3, so 3 to 6 this afternoon?
No, 1 to 3, 1 to 4 is afternoon.
So what 6 o'clock is?
6 o'clock is the evening.
What about 5? That's afternoon.
That's evening.
I thought evening started at 7 p.m.
No, time about to change. Well, evening about to start at 4:30.
The tech said he was asking if Dwight's going to act. Man. I thought Dwight promised something on his show, man.
Man, you make me feel like you was a PLP. You disappoint me.
Yeah, I get disappointed.
Make promise and break my heart. Okay, man on release for sex assault fined for bail breach. A 33-year-old man was fined yesterday after breached his bail while on release for a sex assault charge against an 18-year-old girl. Senior Magistrate Raquel Wims arraigned Perry Cooper with violation of bail conditions. Cooper was on Supreme Court bail for the alleged indecent assault of a teenage girl in New Providence on September 27, 2023. Cooper reportedly breached his court-ordered residential curfew on the night of October 6th. The defendant pleaded guilty to the charge and apologized for his actions. Cooper was fined $400 for the breach or risk a one-month prison term. So you bail is a right. You get bail. And then you breach it.
Mm-hmm.
While you're before the courts for a crime of sexual violence. Right? And you get to pay a fine or risk a one-month prison term. I don't know if I'd like that. I mean, you got the bail, right? You have a right to bail and you got the bail and you breached it. Shouldn't bail be revoked for serious crimes? And aren't all crimes of sexual violence serious crimes?
Mm-hmm.
All.
It ain't easy being a woman in the Bahamas. And it don't seem as if we have a woman advocate pushing and challenging, right? There's always a damning of women who stand up and say, this is not right.
Yeah.
And then we have a number of female parliamentarians who are quiet, noticeably quiet, not speaking.
But they're so but they're glamorous. You could hear them, the glamour, but they don't say anything.
You don't say anything.
Yeah.
And then they're saying that they deserve to be voted in again, yet they're not speaking out on women's and girls' issues.
They're not speaking out on any issues.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, not just women's and girls' issues. Sexual violence also affects men and boys. We see the story, 10-year sentence for man caught having sex with teen boy. They're not speaking out on any issues.
What's the difference between the Grammy, who is raped vaginally and anally, and how much years did he get?
The man got 9 years.
And then this young boy.
See,
I'm just saying
right.
It just seemed odd.
In that case, the 22-year-old man got 9 years, right, of rape. I think there's a plea deal involved. In this case, a plea deal is involved, and the man got 10 years for an offense that's being called unlawful sexual intercourse, right? Mm-hmm. So unlawful sexual intercourse suggests that consent was given, even though the minor child cannot give consent, right? In the case with the 83-year-old woman, they clearly used the word rape multiple times, mm. right? So the question is, did this 15-year-old boy consent to having sexual intimacy, intercourse with this man? Does he believe them to be in a relationship? Is he just having fun? Was the young man groomed, right, to this place? Or is the young man being, what do we call, pimped, right? Is he being forced to engage in intimacy, sexual intercourse with adult men by another adult, right? But how do these two cases get the same? Are you, this act with this boy that he may have willingly engaged in warrants the same sentence as the man who raped vaginally and anally an 83-year-old woman?
And if you forget, there's a number of charges he was charged with. And
right.
And it came up to
24 years to be served concurrently, which means that he will only serve the time of the longest sentence, which is 9 years.
Yes. Anyway, let's take a break. It's Guardian Radio AM. Of course, it's the Man Down Mashup Wednesday, where we analyze the news. Aaron Green is joining me, and we shall be right back, where we continue to read the news and see what exactly is happening. We're talking about
Good governance.
Where are we getting it? Where we should be complaining? Where we should be agitating? Where the government promises some things, and they just ain't doing it, man. Maybe just being content.
They're good at taking pictures, though.
Yeah, they're good at taking pictures.
Take good pictures.
We'll be right back.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistle when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM on our Man Down Mashup Wednesday. We are continuing to read the news. We have one or two highlights that we want to interrogate. Go ahead, Aaron. What's that you're looking at?
All right. So I'm looking at this notice. I think it's important. Ministry of Works and Family Island Affairs, Department of Physical Planning. Public meeting cancellation notice. The public is hereby notified that the public hearing regarding the application submitted on behalf of Mr. William Carey for the proposed bar and deck on Rose Island and was scheduled on 4th October 2024 at 6 p.m. has been canceled. The department apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause. Questions may be forwarded to the Department of Physical Planning via email at Department of Physical Planning, DEPT, Physical Planning at bahamas.gov.bs. Signed by the Director of Physical Planning. And I think it's an important notice, but it also raised some questions for me. Like, why was it canceled? Why was it not postponed? Mm. Does it mean that the application has been withdrawn? Mm. Right? And like, when you apologize for any inconvenience this may cause, like, first of all, why are you apologizing? Did you cancel it because staff is not available? Are you unable to reschedule for the purpose of informing the public? And I guess, of course, Aaron, these are all questions that I could forward to the Department of Physical Planning via email at DEPT, physicalplanning at bahamas.gov.bs. Here's another notice in today's Guardian. I just thought it was interesting. Focal Holdings Limited, preferred dividend payment. Focal is pleased to announce a dividend payment to all holders of Class B preference shares as of October 15, 2024, payable within 10 business days of the record date through the Bahamas Central Securities Depository. It just sounds like money-making.
Sounds like a profit-making.
Yeah.
Didn't they just indicate they plan to act for an increase?
Well, no, that's not exactly what happened.
No?
Sir Franklin Wilson intimated that it wouldn't be unreasonable for the wholesalers to also inquire or interrogate about a fuel margin increase for them. And then the next day we saw that in particular Focal had its best year ever in its existence. Mm. It produced so much profit. It had never produced that much profit before. In the same way we have in the conversation about bank fees and the central bank regulate aspects of banking fees for the Bahamian public, and you got a little pushback from the banks, and then one of these banks said, man, we made $103 million in net profit this year. Mm. That's not gross profit. Mm-hmm. That's net profit, because gross profit, then you got to pay off a couple of people you didn't pay
bills
yet.
And stuff like that.
This is net. This is just all put in our pocket.
Just gravy.
Yeah. $103 million.
Mm-hmm. Of Bahamian backs.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of people who would definitely become millionaires off of Bahamians.
Yeah.
Multi-millionaires off of Bahamians. Either they got government contracts over the years, but they became millions, mega millionaires. And they're telling us we need to be grateful.
This is why history and the teaching of history is so important. Because you cannot wreck the ship that you are on. At least you should not. Hmm. We have a rich history of wrecking, but something has changed. And now, desperate pirates are wrecking the ship that we are on. You're treating your own people like they are the capital that you can, by any means necessary, derive a profit from.
There's an analogy paper when they said when you give the slave a whip and say you're in charge of this plantation, you make him the overseer. Mm-hmm. Because it's not his business, he tends to whip the workers to death. Say, man, you will produce more. Because I know when I got whipped, I produce more. But mm-hmm. because he doesn't understand commerce or the business of it, right? You say when a slave become king, right? Then you whip them to death and say, well, why are we even producing no more? I think we're in a stage now, we have some people with slave-mindedness in charge with the whip, and they whipping us to death, not knowing that they're destroying the whole plantation. Mm-hmm. We done on the plantation.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no vested interest in it to make everything is just profit.
Here's another story. For attempting to defraud bank of $26,000. A man was fined $4,500 yesterday after admitting to attempting to defraud a bank of $26,000 using fake payslips in 2022. Senior Magistrate Kendra Kelly presided as Pedro Miller, 38, appeared for the continuation of his trial on three counts of possession of a forged document, uttering a forged document, and attempted fraud by false pretenses. Miller reportedly tried defrauding Commonwealth Bank from a $26,000 loan by providing fake payslips on May 18 through 19, 2022. Miller reversed his earlier position and pleaded guilty to all nine charges against him. The defendant was fined $4,500 for the offense or risk an 8-month prison term. Glendon Rule represented the accused. Sergeant Vernon Pyfrom served as the prosecutor.
Remember that time when someone in the bank stole the Governor General money?
Yes.
I think they got a government job after that. Whatever happened to that person?
The last time I saw them, they were a part of a government ministry school tour, where I guess he was using his personal life as an example, a teachable moment for students.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
He wasn't paying them, though?
I don't know. All I know is that I had to go check my account immediately after that was revealed. Mm-hmm. Mr. Newry, Milton. We didn't really get to talk about Milton. School closures, and we're almost all out of time. School closures, Florida evacuations, local preparations, tornado touchdown out east. Dear Bahamas, as we are experiencing climate change, as the planet shifts and we become aware, right, we are living the results of that. Please be advised that there is increased tornado activity in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, including on of New Providence. Please be aware. And so as storms approach, we have to secure things in our yard and on our property, not just with strong hurricane winds in mind, but with the understanding that tornadoes can also appear. It also calls for, we need to see a conversation about revising the building codes. We now need to have a real conversation about hurricane shelters and tornado shelters. And like Mr. Newry said, this inquiry into the Dorian deaths is not just about determining how many people were lost in the storm, but determining why and how we prevent it from happening ever again. It is a heinous act to allow the residents of Abaco to live on your empty promises of hurricane shelters and homes and home reconstruction.
Mind you, just before we go, Abaco has a whole prime minister of Abaco there, and also a secondary MP, all both working in, I think, the prime minister's office.
If y'all don't get Cornish hen in your food distribution package, revolts, huh? Revolt.
I assume they would be talking about a narrative of when and where these people should evacuate to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In Abaco, particularly in Abaco.
Well, I tell you what, there is a great Facebook group, Abaco News Network.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay tuned to that over the next few days to see what's happening on the ground in Abaco, what people are sharing and information. I'm going to share as much of that as I can through my social media pages.
Okay. And expect a lot of rain after 4 p.m., 6 p.m. today, they said.
Yeah, they said rain's going to increase as the evening proceeds.
And then definitely Abaco, Bimini, and Grand Bahama should have the brunt of this bad weather.
All right.
And hopefully it becomes more than a tropical storm.
Right, because right now they're still on tropical storm watch.
Yeah.
I mean, tropical storm warning.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Let's stay safe, Bahamas. Right? And prepare yourself. Start charging your phone. Stop using it. Charge your laptops. And prepare for light to be off tonight.
Gather as many battery packs as you can, as much fresh water as you can.
I expect by 6 p.m. everything to be off. We'll be in darkness.
No, not in the new era of energy reform, sir.
Yeah.
Not in the new era of energy reform.
But folk, they can reckon numbers. Anyway, have a wonderful day. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.